outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors,
beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors,
baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors. Hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954, with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing all right. Welcome, everybody, to Inside Outdoors this morning. This is old Buddy Bill right here.
Hey, I'm Rich Reardon.
And by golly, we're going to get right on with the program here. And
I hope so.
Don will be calling in here directly.
And, I think so.
And I'm going to wait and brag on what I had this morning.
Oh.
I'll wait till he gets on the telephone so I can rub it in a little bit.
Well, in the meantime, I'm going to tell you that it's 35 degrees this morning. So it wasn't too bad.
No, it's not too bad.
Doesn't seem to be getting much better, though, Bill. It was like 40 last week.
Well, you know, this global warming has to be what's causing it.
I guess.
Yeah, because normally, I mean, you know, we have some pretty decent days in March.
Yep.
And we've had a day or two and so far this month. But they're saying all next week's going to be about the same as we've had, and
yeah.
That's down in the 20s.
Well, I remember a couple of weeks ago, they were starting to say, well, 60s, 50s, but
well, they changed that.
And it didn't look good.
So normally it comes in like a lamb or a lion, whichever, and
yep.
the end of it will go out the opposite. This time it come in like a lion and looks like it's going out like one. So I don't know.
Well, it's already the 17th, so I don't know when it's going to go out like a lamb, but hopefully soon.
Well, I do too. I'm ready for some pretty days, warm days. But we do want to wish everybody a happy St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this is St. Paddy's Day. Everybody put on their green. Well, I got on my red. That's close.
I got blue. There's some green in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we want to wish everybody a real happy St. Paddy's Day, and hope everybody enjoys the day. And
well, you know what? They arrived poor and uneducated. The Irish did.
The Irish did.
Just
yeah.
like the rest of us.
Just like the rest, yeah.
And somehow made it here. So they were immigrants. Apparently, Trump wants to throw them all out.
Well, yeah.
You want to throw us all out, right?
Well, it seems like that.
Because we're all immigrants, aren't we, you know, basically?
Seems like that's what he's wanting to do. And
I saw that they said to a Navajo guy he needed to go back home.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of the country.
Yeah.
And he's Navajo. He was here before any of us.
Oh, well, yeah. He's
so
one
I don't know what they're talking about anymore. I really don't.
Yeah, he's the one that more or less started America.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Indian, all of them have gotten a raw deal over the years.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised at how many people are have relation with out of the Indian tribes.
You're right.
My wife, she's part Indian. And of course, her parents was. So there's a lot of a lot of cross there and a lot of people that's connected to the Indians.
A lot more than you might think.
And, yes.
We got to take a break. We'll talk about it more when we come back here. But
well, don't go away, folks. By golly, get you a ham and egg sandwich and a cup of coffee, and we'll be right back in just a short.
Yes, we will. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, glad you could join us this morning. And we know it's kind of early of a morning, but by gum, we try to come up with something and talk about, and we normally do. I think Don's on the telephone right now, calling in from somewhere.
Hey, Don, can you hear us?
Yes.
You can hear.
Yes.
One of these days, he'll be here in person.
I doubt it.
You don't
think so? No, I think he's took up residency where he's at.
Is he?
Yeah.
As soon as it hits 70 degrees, I'll be there.
Okay. Well,
by golly, you're going to be down there for a while then. The way it sounds around here.
Oh, it's barely hitting 70 down here. Going to be highs in the 60s this next week.
Well, we're going to have about the same highs around the 40s is all it's going to be here for the next week.
Highs around the 40s is not too cold, not too warm, I mean.
No, it's not.
Seems kind of warm
now,
to me.
Now, if it was January, we'd think 40 would be hot. But when you get into March and you expect 50 and 60s at least, 40s is pretty cool.
Well, I guess 2018, we've proven the old myth that there's always a snow during the basketball tournament. There's been snow all over the state this year.
Yeah,
somewhere, yeah. And the East Coast is really getting it, and they're going to get their fourth one going up through there. Them poor people won't have any electricity for a year.
They like that up there.
Well, they're more used to it than we are, but still yet, you take all the electricity and stuff that's out and still out, it makes it bad, you know. People's got used to it, and we need it, you know.
People got used to electricity, Bill?
Yeah, we got used to it, yeah.
Yeah, you used to it down there in Moffett Lane?
Yeah, well, yeah, we finally got electricity in, and
that's good.
We're getting used to it.
So, what was the big secret that you had for breakfast this morning?
Oh, I'm telling you, son. I come in here this morning. I sat down and I looked in a bowl here and I thought, well, heck, somebody's had breakfast here. And Rich says, that's yours. Well, I said, what is it? He said, well, taste it and find out. And I did. And it was pineapple upside down cake.
Oh,
and
man.
You talk about good. Man, that was some kind of good.
I can attest to it. He was smiling the whole time.
Oh, man. And that's, of course, one of my favorites anyhow. I was telling him, of course, nowadays you don't have all them good conveniences, but Mom used to make them in the old cook stove with the, you know, the old wood cook stove.
The iron
skillet.
You
remember them?
Yeah.
And an iron skillet. And I've still got the iron skillet she made them in.
Do you make them in there?
Yeah, I have made them, yes. Yes. But it's, of course, I don't have the wood. I've got a wood stove, but I don't have it hooked up or anything. I've got the same one we had 70 years ago, 80 years ago. But anyway,
you're easy on equipment, Bill.
Yeah. It needs to have some work done on it, but I've still got it. It's in the dry. But anyway, I have to make them in the electric stove, so they're not quite as good. Well, they are good, but
well, we were saying there might have been a little smoke involved with the older style.
Yeah, that old wood smell, I don't know, it's got something to do in them.
It flavors it.
Well, it evidently does, yeah. And I can remember her making them pans of biscuits from scratch. Mm. I mean from scratch.
Yeah.
No mixes or nothing like that. She'd put the flour and the bacon powders in and yeah. what have you, I know, and throw them in that oven or that stove in about 30 minutes, bring them out. I mean, them dudes would be 2 foot tall. Them suckers would raise up there, and they was just as brown as a berry.
Boy.
That's pretty good.
If Bloomington isn't hungry now, I can't imagine why.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But, I remember them good old days. That, yeah. yeah. Had them good old chicken eggs, you know. Well, of course, we got them now,
too. We got those
too.
Now.
And have a big old plate of biscuits and man, I'm gonna have to cut up. Quit. I'm getting hungry. I'm gonna have to quit talking about it.
Since you're talking about good things to eat, you know, this is getting near black morel time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's well. Of course, they should be shortly.
Yes, any time now. And I had a long talk with a mushroom hunter the other day about this, and we concluded that, black mushrooms, more than any other kind, come up in the same place at the same time every year.
Hmm.
I've had sort of realized that from a few black morel patches that I'm familiar with, but it's really kind of amazing. There was a place behind my house where I'd burned some wood, just a little fire, a little small fire, that had scorched around where the fire was. And black morels started coming up there, and they came up there for as long as I lived at that place.
Oh, I'll be.
At the same time every year, well within a day, March 29th or March 30th. And they were always the same size. It's just really amazing. I've heard the same thing, or mushroom hunters say the same thing about those black morels at other times.
Mm-hmm.
What's your experience with that, Bill?
Well, I haven't really paid any attention. I generally go after the big sponge, the big yellow ones. But I do pick up the black ones, too. And I'm a-wondering this year, as cold as the weather's been, but on the other hand, I think the black mushrooms or whatever, or morels or whatever you want to call them, I think they are more, what do you call it?
Frost resistant.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And they come up in colder weather.
They always come up first. They're the
And so it might not bother them, and they may come up just like they always do. So you want to keep a close eye on that patch.
That's right, dude, because somebody else will sneak in there and get them if you don't.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Now, so, Don, what do you think about this? If you find some somewhere, and you can buy these spores online now, right?
Yes.
So could you possibly plant some right in that same spot and maybe hope that, they're going to come up next year?
I'd say that's probably be a pretty weak chance. the spores, mushroom spores are very...
finicky.
To get started, man, because any other mold, mildew, anything like that that's around them, will take them over.
Right.
And I don't see how they keep that from happening in the wild, because you sure as heck can't keep it from happening trying to grow domestic ones,
Right.
If there's any bread mold around, well, you're going to have a bucket full of bread mold.
Right.
It's just the way it is. Mushrooms are hard to grow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're not impossible, but next to it.
Well, especially when you're talking about those, and that's why they're so valuable.
Yes, I heard $20 a pound last year in a couple places. But some people had very poor results hunting mushrooms last year, and some people had good. It's just you never know. It's hit and miss.
Yeah, it was a really as a whole, it was a poor year.
Well, your prognostication that you had to have snow to have good shroom hunting means we ought to have pretty good shroom hunting this year, doesn't it, Bill?
Well, we ain't had that much snow.
Oh, I thought you had a bunch.
No, we were really
not really.
No, we're way behind our normal snowfall. Now it may catch
right.
It may catch up here this month. I mean, this month is not over with yet. And I've seen some pretty big snows in April.
Well, that could always happen, can't it?
So, what we needed was snow in February and January and February.
Well, as cold as it's been, you'd think there'd be, you know, more snow right now.
You'd think there would be.
I mean, it's been really pretty cold. It's still cold.
It's still cold.
Expecting it to go up.
Yeah.
But they keep talking about it, you know, the temperature going up, but it never does.
Well, eventually maybe it'll warm up, and I'm sure it will. It always has. I know my little chickens, they're wanting out awful bad.
Well, we got to this 40s, 50s, and then lows, 20s, 30s every night pretty much for a while now.
Well, you just never know about that Indiana weather, boys.
Yeah.
No, just stick around. It'll change.
That's the saying.
Yep.
How many times have you heard somebody say that?
I don't know. A numerous amount of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard music and no one's there.
We're about to jump out of here. Hey, Bill, do you know what the temperature is at the lake right now?
The water temperature?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
They're
not taking it right now.
Really? Cold, I bet.
I'd say it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not skinny dipping time, by no means.
Well, we'll be right back.
Right, Bill?
With more, other than to tell you that it's cold. Maybe the fish will be biting soon.
Well, let's hope. Don't go away, folks, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington at 91.3 FM, Bloomington. Hey, we're at 98.1 FM too, and Nashville at 100.7 and Ellettsville at 106.3. Community radio for South Central Indiana. And today, right now, it is 35 degrees. It's going to get a little better. We're going to get up to around 50, actually about 44 to 50, somewhere in the middle of that area. And it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be even better tomorrow. Sunny, 56 degrees. And so we'll be back in just a second with more Inside Outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. Bye, guys. Hope you had a good breakfast this morning. I had a good snack here a while ago. My dessert before I have breakfast.
Well, hey, I looked this up, and it's $6.50 to $8 a pound for those mushrooms we've been talking about, the morels.
Wonder where you can buy them for that.
Aren't any on sale.
Yeah, if you can find them. Well, that's a lot of money, $6.50, $8 a pound. But
there'll be a lot more than that when the time comes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, they're about $20 up, any way you look at it.
That's right. I've never seen them for $6 or $8 a pound because there are none right now, right?
Well, they're
well, maybe that's why they're $6.50 or $8 a pound.
Yeah, right now you can buy them probably for $2 a pound.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be those imaginary mushrooms.
Uh-huh, if you can find them.
Yeah, we'll sell a few.
Down in Tennessee, they ought to start coming up. But there again, now they've had some pretty bad weather down through Kentucky, Tennessee, in that area, and going up the East Coast. So,
it's possible, Bill. Florida has morel season too, but it only lasts 2 or 3 days, and you got to figure out when that is. Spring only lasts 2 or 3 days down there, you know. So if you find a morel once every 5 years, you've done pretty good down there. It's such a short season. You've got to be out there all the time looking at. And it is in March. I mean, all the mushrooms, all the morels they got are up this month. And after that, you're going to be hunting boa constrictors.
Well, I don't believe I want to hunt them. I believe I'll pass on them.
Yeah, that's a big sport down in South Florida now. You know, they even got professionals at it that go out and pull out 20 or 30 of them in a day. Of course, that's just a drop in a bucket to the tens of thousands of them that are now in South Florida.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could get a very large surprise just about any time down there. Walking along.
Are there any around where you're at there?
Absolutely.
Are they?
Before I left, I used to live in a little town called Inverness, which is up.
Yeah, I know where that's further, at.
Much farther north than where I am now. And, we had a python alligator wrestling match in the front of our house in about, that must have been about 2004. So they've spread quite a ways. Nobody really is sure how far they've spread. They do get pretty groggy when it's cold, so it's easy to get at them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just pull them out by the tail.
Yeah.
They do. They're just, you know, they just limp. They just they're snakes. They're cold blooded. They don't. If it's down around frost time, you're not going to get much action out of a python.
No, but you can get action out of me.
I bet that's right, Bill.
If I see one, I'm gone.
Yeah.
There'll be action, all right.
There you go. All right, well, I believe you.
Believe me, brother.
Well, we got, we do have turkey hunts up here. No python hunts, but we've got another reminder from the DNR about the 2018 reserved youth turkey hunts on DNR properties. You want to hear about that?
Yeah, better hear about it.
Okay. Youth hunters can apply for reserved turkey hunts. That's April 21 and 22 on selected DNR properties. Youth hunters must be 18 or younger on the day of the hunt. Must be younger than age 18 on the day of the hunt. So you can't be 18. You got to be under 18.
Under 18, yes.
We got, here's where you're hunting this year. Wildlife areas, Atterbury, Chinook, Crosley, Deer Creek, Fairbanks Landing, Glendale, Goose Pond, Hillenbrand, Hovey Lake, Jasper, Pulaski, Kankakee, Kingsbury, LaSalle, Pigeon River, Roush Lake, Sugar Ridge, that's down south here. Tri-County, Wabashiki, I don't know where that is, Willow Slough, and Winnemac. Two participating reservoirs are Mississinewa and Salamone. So they're mostly fish and wildlife areas. Limit will be placed on the number allowed to hunt a property each day. Registration begins March 19 and runs through March 30th. Interested hunters or adult representing them must register in person or by phone during office hours for the property they wish to hunt. So you got to call the fish and wildlife area or reservoir where you're going to hunt to make your reservation.
Oh, darn.
And hunters can register for only one property. Those wanting to sign up for Chinook or Wabashiki should go to Deer Creek, Fish and Wildlife areas. Those wanting to sign up for Fairbanks or Hillenbrand hunts should do so at Goose Pond Fish and Wildlife Area. That you, you're familiar with Goose Pond, aren't you?
Right.
Sure.
We're all familiar. Some people may be shocked that they have hunting there, but that was the whole, you know, Fish and Wildlife areas. That's kind of what goes on there. At properties where the number of registered hunters exceeds the spots available, a drawing will be held April the 2nd. Youth hunter may be drawn for either one or both hunt days, depending on the numbers of applicants. You get notified by mail if you win. You must possess a 218 youth consolidated hunting and trapping license, a 218 non-resident youth spring turkey license with a game bird habitat privilege stamp, or a lifetime comprehensive hunting license. Apprentice hunting licenses of the types named above may also be used. To register for a hunt, you need the following info. Your name, that's a pretty easy one, right? Type of license and license number you have, date in which you're applying, mailing address, phone number, parent or guardian's name, address, and phone number. 1/2 hour before sunrise until noon on properties in central time zone, and 1/2 hour before sunrise until 1 p.m. in the eastern time zone. That's accounting for those little pockets around Indiana that are in central time zone. You may check it in at any time until the end of legal hunting hours for that property. Your youth turkey hunters younger than age 18 on the day of the hunt can take a bearded or a male wild turkey. The youth must be accompanied by someone 18 or older. You may use any legal shotgun, bow, or crossbow. Adult accompanying hunter must not possess a firearm, bow, or crossbow in the field. The adult does not need to possess a turkey hunting license unless the youth is using an apprentice license. Oh, man, it's getting complicated every day.
Yeah, getting more complicated.
Yeah, it sounds complicated.
It's really complicated. Well, anyway, make sure you read these regulations before you go.
Yeah, you better.
Turkey hunt, or even apply for it, because that's where they get you, you know. Didn't apply right. Well, anyway, that's youth turkey hunts is coming out right up, boys. That's April 21st and 22nd.
Yeah, right about 4 weeks away.
Yep.
Right on the heels of that is the regular spring turkey hunting season.
So. Yep.
April. You know, these
coming right around.
These early April rains may bring flowers, but they also bring turkeys.
Yep. The turkeys are out. Boy, you know, I haven't seen many around the house anymore. I don't know what's happened to them.
I haven't seen any either. I don't know what's going on unless, I don't know, the weather got them the last year or two. I don't think so. But.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so either, but something's happened because coming into town, if we come in on the east side, we normally seen them there in, a couple, three spots there. Not far from the house, and haven't seen one there forever.
Yes, there used to see turkeys wandering around everywhere down here, really. And I haven't seen any I used to see them right out here in the road.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I had one attack me. Remember that a few years ago when I stopped my truck and it came running at me with its mouth open, going to attack me?
Well.
My truck. I mean, that was a bold turkey.
Yeah,
that's what happened to him.
What did he taste like?
I got out of there. I didn't want to have a confrontation. Yeah, well, anyway. I don't know, Bill. I haven't heard anything out of the biologists on this issue, but I think just about everybody that, you know, if you got a set of eyes, you probably noticed that you haven't seen in very many turkeys around.
Well, I haven't talked to any either, so I don't know. But like I said, where we normally always see them, there just aren't not any.
And, you know, they expanded into some more counties this year on that. Yeah, too. So those are all up in northern Indiana.
Northern Indiana, yeah. They've added several counties up there.
But ours have pretty much been in the turkey hunting area the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
If you live around here, you're pretty much safe about where you go turkey hunting.
Yeah, I think, well, Monroe, I think, probably was one of the first ones.
Monroe and Hoosier National Forest there, you know. I remember Steve Bax years and years ago took me on a drive down some country down around Mitchell, Bedford, down there where he lives, and we watched scores, literally scores of turkey, wild turkey out in open fields strutting and trying to impress their girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
You know, there were lots of them around and very visible then. I don't know, maybe they've just become more shy and they're not out where we can see them.
I haven't talked to Steve. I'll have to see if I can get a hold of him and see what he says.
Well, I haven't talked to him in quite a while either. But, haven't heard much out of Steve. He's getting up there. I hope he's not retired yet.
No, he's not retired yet.
He should be getting close.
But, yeah, I'd say he is.
He's held that job down for a number of decades now.
Mm-hmm, right. And he's done a good job at it.
It'd be hard to replace him.
Yep. It sure will.
Yeah.
And they may not even replace him. Who knows? The way they operate, they may not even replace him.
That's absolutely right. That might be true, Bill. Well, if you do go turkey hunting, boys and girls, don't take your Taurus pistol with you. You heard about this, Bill?
I heard about that. Yeah, I did.
Rich?
Yep.
Well, there's
apparently it can just go off whenever it wants to go off, kind of like the Remington.
Oh yeah, this is much worse than the Remington. It'll go off if touched wrong. You know, it'll go off when you pull the trigger and it's on safe.
Yeah.
So there's 9 Taurus pistol models recalled due to fatal misfires. That's 9 different models of pistols from Taurus. Now Taurus. You guys know about where Tauruses are from, Brazil, you know. I got to say it, because they're cheap, you know, I've bought one or two in the past to give to people as gifts. And, boy, I made sure I called them when I saw this right away. And I'm not sure if I bought models that are on this list or not, but you know anybody that's got a Taurus pistol, make sure to tell them if they're not dead already.
Well, are they supposed to be new models, or?
They're every model. Well, they're new models. And the one that is so dangerous that has killed so many or hurt people is the Defender. And the Defender is required to be carried by national law by the police in Brazil.
Hmm.
Even knowing this, and a number of them have been shot or killed by their own pistol because of this. And the interview that I read from the internet on this said that all you had to do was drop one of these things or bump it against, say you got it in a holster, and you bump it against something as you're walking along, it will fire then. This one policeman had one that happened to him, and it shot him in the femur and hit his femoral artery and nearly killed him. So, you got to carry one of these Tauruses if you're a policeman down there, but they're all carrying the Tauruses now without a round in the chamber and with a backup. A different brand of pistol that they don't have to carry, but really do, since the one that they're supposed to carry is liable to kill them. Mm. You know, it's a crazy situation. And if you own a Taurus pistol or you know somebody who does, make sure to warn them about this.
Well, I'm glad I don't own one.
I'm glad I don't either. I gave them to other people. Nice job, huh?
Yeah, good job, buddy. Good job.
Well, you
job.
Didn't know at the time, so we'll give you a break.
I'm sorry, folks. Anyway, this is much worse than the Remington misfires. although the Remington 700 misfires also killed a number of people. And they didn't do anything about it either.
So, well, you know, it's just another reason that we probably shouldn't be arming the teachers with whatever they want to carry into the school, because, you know, there's other things besides how well-trained you are.
Did you see yesterday a teacher had a gun go off in class and shot a student by accident?
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that was on the news. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yes, that's exactly what just about everybody figured would happen.
Yep.
That's just number one. That's the first one. So, geez. I don't know. You know, arming a teacher in the school, what's to keep the wise kid, you know, from sneaking up behind the teacher, snatching that pistol out of his visible holster, and blasting the teacher, you know?
Yeah, or worse.
Or worse. I'm just, it's just not a good idea. And you see the NRA suing Florida for passing that law that you had to be 21 to buy an automatic rifle down there.
I don't know how they could sue them. I mean, they can pass the law if they want to.
It's not a law. It's just policy, right? For you're talking about the stores?
No, I'm talking about the state of Florida. They just passed a bill. The governor signed it, requiring that you be 21 years old before you can buy one of these rifles.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't hear that.
Immediately. So. That was within 24 hours, they got the suit from NRA.
Hmm.
Well.
How about that? Well, I'm hearing music in there.
Yeah, we got to take a break. Got to recognize our sponsors and all that. So stick with us, Don. We'll be right back in just a short while. And everybody, don't move that dial. Leave it right where it's at, and we'll be back in a short.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. We are broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Art Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, and they are a proud supporter of community radio. So thanks to them. And right now it's 35 degrees. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. It's going to be up to, oh gosh, about 44 degrees to 50 degrees today, somewhere in the middle of there. And hopefully it's going to get a little bit better. It's kind of like showery and stuff today, but we're supposed to look at sunny weather tomorrow and a little bit higher, like 56 degrees. So I'm excited about that. We want all the warm weather we can get. So anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We're coming right back with Don Jordan and Buddy Bill and me, Rich Reardon. Just a minute. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks, and you know, we was talking about turkeys here.
Yeah, well, I guess we got a turkey story right off
the
bat.
We got a turkey story, yeah. Turkeys do some funny things, and we got a gentleman right here behind me, and he's going to tell a story about his turkey adventure.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Bob with WFHB. I'm a disc jockey here. But I was working out on the west end of town at a business with our maintenance person, and we come to work one day. And there was a turkey at our front door looking at the reflection in the glass. And it was just running towards that front window. It was going, attacking that glass, seeing it, and it made a mess on that window like you wouldn't believe. And we had to chase the turkey away and went and cleaned the window. And I come back the next morning, and that silly turkey was there going again, making a mess on that window. So we didn't know what to do to get rid of the turkey. We chased him away again, and then one of the guys decided if we put some aluminum foil or something on the window where it would kill the reflection, he might not come back. And we tried that, and we never did see the turkey again. But, boy, he sure made a mess out of that front door for a couple of days.
I bet he did. Yeah, that's pretty good. And they will do that. That's a true story, too, and they will do that.
Hey, well, thanks so much for that story. Because
he does a good job gobbling.
I think we got that on tape now.
He does a good job at that. Yeah, he was imitating that turkey pretty well.
That sounded, that probably could call one in.
Yeah.
What do you think, Don? Could that call one in?
I don't know. You know, you know how strange they are.
Yeah, they are.
They could be coming in.
We'll have to try that.
Attack a pickup truck, they'll probably come in to about any call.
Yeah.
I don't think it wanted to mate with my pickup truck.
I doubt it.
Hey, well, I got something I want to say here. You know what?
Say it.
I am not happy with this move the clock an hour forward. We talk about it every year, but...
Oh, it sucks so bad.
It is bad. Why do we have to do this? I don't know.
Because the politicians say we do.
Yeah.
It's the only
We don't have a say in it.
Boy,
this the politicians has got the say in it.
Not a good thing. It ruined my whole week.
Well, it just tears everything up.
It does. It tears everything up.
And then when you start to get used to it, then they switch it back again. And then you're sunk again.
Yep.
Well, Florida's got another bill. I can't believe Florida's swimming upstream on stuff now, but they got a bill to ban daylight savings time in Florida.
Well, that's good. I hope it catches on.
It's a national law, though. I don't know how they're going to get away with it other than just, you know, thumb their nose at the government, but which is okay with me. You know, they do that. And, daylight savings time is a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck.
Yeah, it is. I'll agree.
If you remember it. Oh, speaking of pains in the neck, Bill, did you see they're going to have South Walnut torn up so you can't get to work in the morning?
Well, part of it's already tore up down around Kroger's and down in that area.
Way down there, yeah.
Yeah, that's all tore up already, and they're going to tear up some more, like you say, the 1st of April. So, yeah, you can't get there from here.
Yeah, you're going to have to, like, I don't know how you'll detour around that stretch of South Walnut there in town where they're going to do this.
Well, now, what's the cross street? Where is this going to happen?
Grimes.
Grimes.
Grimes Lane, yeah, that's center. That's...
What are they going to do? I mean, what's the plan? I'm sorry, I don't know about this.
I don't know what all they're going to do. Sewer line, a new sewer line or something, isn't it? I don't know.
They still got clay sewer lines street there. So those sewer lines are collapsing, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to replace those sewer lines. But in order to shut it down going both ways doesn't seem like the way to approach it. They ought to leave a lane open.
Yeah.
So you get through there, you know, and then do the other side. But
I thought they was going to leave one lane.
Well, they talked about it. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well, more or less, yeah.
I know old Carp down there in Perry Township wasn't too happy about it.
Well, you certainly don't want more traffic on Rogers or, you know, up through Bryan Park. You know, I mean that's the only places to go, right? Washington, Lincoln. Henderson, you know.
Going south. Yeah.
Or over to Rogers, and that's you know, with RCA and everything, that's trouble already.
You have Clear Creek down there, you know, but you still have to come back up to Walnut, even if you try to take the Clear Creek route.
Yeah.
Well, from our side of town to the west side, I can get to Bedford as soon as I could get over to the west side. And that's no joke.
I know that's true. I just drove over to the car wash, you know, before I left, and Gee whiz, from my house, I'm already on the west side. It took a long time to get down to 3rd Street. It's the traffic is just...
Well, they got it one lane each way, and
yes,
they're at the interstate. And
we're doing all kinds of work on Curry Pike. You know, they're working on buildings. You know, we're fixing up the old GE plant for Cook Incorporated.
Right.
They're building a new federal building down there by Otis Elevator,
uh-huh,
where it should be. So it's ripped up right now. I mean, it's going to be torn up for a while.
And they just keep tearing up a road here and a road there, and they got them all tore. They're working on practically every road there is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the plan, I guess, is to make it as inconvenient as possible. So, unless you live in Bloomington, in between certain streets, they don't really care about what you do, how you get to work.
Well, they just soon the cars stay out of town.
Well, yes, that's been going on for some time, but they can't shut down Indiana 37, which is Walnut Street, and at least I hope they can't.
Well, you never know what they can do. They went from 4-lane to 2-lane, so, and part of it. So,
I do, I suppose.
In college, they've done the same thing, and place trying to get traffic through town, they're trying to bottleneck it up, so.
You have it.
They spend millions of dollars to get traffic through, and then they spend millions of dollars to bottleneck you up.
I don't take anything for granted anymore.
Can't win for losing.
That's a good idea, boys. I got to, let's see. I did talk to some crappie fishermen up there. Have you met your crappie fishermen from Lafayette to come down here?
I haven't talked to them. They haven't been down, so I haven't talked to them.
I'm hearing that they're not really coming into the docks down at Paintown yet. So, you know, generally that's how you judge what's going on with crappies at Monroe.
Of course, the water's up, so that there have a little bearing on it.
That does. That usually kind of stimulates them to get up in that shallower water when it's like that, but it's still too cold.
A little too cold, yeah.
So it's coming, though. It's coming.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. Just hold on. You're just going to have to wait.
Yeah, if you really want to catch some, you ought to go over to Cataract Lake. It seems to start a little earlier there. It's a smaller lake, a little smaller lake. And it
warms up a little quicker.
Right, and it's full of crappies. Just, you know, it's full of them. So, and sometimes, some years, pretty nice ones. So if you know where Cataract is, that's Lieber State Park, isn't it? And,
what's up at Cataract?
There, Clay and Owen County.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Putnam and Owen County.
Putnam, yeah.
Which is just to the west of us. And it's not a very long drive and pretty good fishing for crappie.
I never fished up there. That's one lake I've never been on. Of course, like I say, it's a small one.
It is. But it's less than half the size of Lake Monroe, but it's got a lot of crappies in it.
Yeah, it's good fishing area.
You can pretty much catch your limit of crappies in that 12 to 13 inch class, which is, you know, reasonable. I mean, it's definitely edible size.
Right.
And this is the time of year, if you're a crappie fisherman, even if you're not a crappie fisherman, this is the time to catch them and eat them because their flesh is still firm and fries up good, and they're real tasty.
They're better when they're cold, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they definitely are there. Like he said, they're solid, and boy, they're good.
Yes,
you can't beat
it. They get pretty large some places, you know. I know the DNR is looking for people, fishermen this year, to help survey the crappie numbers that are around. So if you happen to be around a DNR office, you might want to stop in and ask about that. if you're interested in participating with them, and find out what the crappie fishing really is in Indiana. That'd be something different, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, they're taking a survey of the fishermen that's coming off the lakes and stuff.
Yeah. They're wanting to know what people are catching.
Right.
Size and what lakes, and how much they weigh, you know, the usual kind of stuff.
Is that all volunteer?
Yeah. Well, no, they have biologists at the ramps doing these surveys generally. So I assume that it didn't say that, but I assume that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be right there with their little vehicle and their little clipboard. So if you see these guys, don't run from them. They're not there to arrest you. They're there to get some info from you, which would be nice.
Yeah.
Be nice to know.
Well, that gives you an idea of what's going on. That's kind of like the hunting surveys. How many turkeys did you see? How many deer?
Exactly.
Yeah, it gives them an idea of what where animals are, different wildlife, and how many, approximately numbers in areas. And it helps, I like to read up on that and see where different animals are, different wildlife, and it's interesting.
It's about time to see another survey at Lake Monroe. I'd sure like to see what's happened down there, since they seem to have pretty much ceased stocking. You know, I wonder if that's allowed the gizzard shed to take over even more. I'd just like to see some data on it. You know, it doesn't seem like we've heard anything for quite a while.
They don't seem to be talking about it, you know, hardly at all anymore.
No, that may be because of the local news coverage is so minimal. I mean, if it doesn't happen in the city of Bloomington at City Hall, it didn't happen, you know?
Right.
And according to the local newspaper, they don't cover much outside of the town anymore. So if you're going to find out, I guess you're going to have to go cooperate with the DNR. Which is okay. You know, the biologists aren't the guys that are bringing bad news to you.
Right.
So,
no, they try to bring good news.
That's right. Yeah. They're doing their job, trying to help out the fisheries, and they don't really have a lot of control over that because it's a budget-oriented activity, that fish stocking. You know?
Right.
And I haven't heard of much fish stocking going on, except we still got the trout stocking. That's going on right now, you know.
Yeah, only one place around here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Green Sullivan?
There's one airline pit over in Green Sullivan and Spring Mill Lake.
Yeah, Spring Mill, that's right.
They started, you know, after they were going to bulldoze the lake and cover it up. They got so many complaints that they not only restored the lake, they stocked it with fish, which they said they was not the thing to do, but they did it anyway because there's so many complaints about, you know, a lot of people have walked around that lake in the last 100 years.
Oh yeah, including me.
including about everybody, you know.
But you was talking about Cataract Lake up there. That's a good crappie, and that's a good mushroom area.
Yes, it is a good mushroom area, and that's Owen Putnam State Forest is right up against that. So, you know, you got a whole bunch of public land there that you can hunt on.
Right.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice to have that public land.
Oh, yeah, sure is.
It would you stop and think about it, if we didn't have any public land in Indiana, where would you hunt?
That's true.
You'd be at the mercy of the landowners.
If the politicians don't decide to get rid of it.
Yeah, right. So, well, we got to, if you have a chance to support public lands, you got to do it. I don't know what your politics are, but if you're a hunter and a fisherman or any kind of an outdoors person, you're really only land that you're going to have available to you if you don't own it is public land.
Yep.
It's just as plain as the nose on your face. If they get rid of the public land, we're out. And whoever owns that land or buys it or leases it or puts a mine on it, whatever they're going to do. Did you hear they opened the Beartooth Monument out west? They opened that to mining claims.
Yeah, we definitely heard about that.
All right.
Terrible.
So that's one of the more interesting areas that was a national monument, and it's going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's reduced to about a tenth of its former size. So there you go.
I got something to bring up here real quick because we're almost out of time, but Bill Rice called in. He wanted to know, Don and Bill, why won't bass in a pond grow beyond 6 or 7 pounds?
It's a matter of size of bait fish and availability of bait fish.
And the size of the pond, too.
Right. Well, I imagine the pond would have a lot to do with it, but is it the how many fish are in there? Like the like you said, the bait fish?
Well, they can be overcrowded, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
crowded, yeah, that's right.
But like you say, like Don said, how much food's in there?
Well, like I said, we're almost out of time. I hear the music, but so if you got a pond and you want to raise them up a little bigger, got to bring some more bait fish in there somehow.
Well, that and there's a lot of the different things.
Yeah.
Where there's fresh.
The saying is bigger water, bigger fish.
Okay, we got 30 seconds. So.
Oh my.
We got to get out of here by golly. And
it's easy for you to say.
Yeah. And so thanks for calling in there, Don. We'll see you soon. And Bill, week's gone.
And Mr. Rice, we're glad for him. Thanks for calling in. And we'll be back next week, folks. Everybody have a safe weekend and a very good St. Paddy's Day. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to WFHB Bloomington at 91.3 FM, Bloomington at 98.1 FM, Nashville at 100.7 FM, and Ellettsville at 106.3 FM. Community radio for South Central Indiana. Right now it's 35 degrees, looking at 44 today. A little bit of clouds out there. It's going to be chance of showers, but tomorrow it's looking better. It's going to be sunny and 56. So looking forward to that. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to Inside Outdoors.